I'm off my game today.
No, you're not.
That's true.
People are going to have to start making better content.
I think we're going to be talking about this for a long time.
When you program for everyone, you program for no one.
I think it's that we're a purpose-driven platform. Like, we're trying to get to substance. How was that? Are you happy with that?
Yeah.
This is marketing therapy right now.
It really is.
What's up? I'm Laura Correnti.
And I'm Alexa Kristen. Welcome back to episode 7.
7.
It's a special Mother's Day episode.
Which means?
We call our mamas.
We're calling our mothers.
But we're also talking about things that are kind of big in and around the Mother's Day holiday.
Right. And we went to Atlandia's Twitter handle to talk to some of our most loyal friends and fans of the show. And we asked them, like, what are some of the brands that you think we should hash out and just, like, freestyle on?
Or things, like brands and behavior. One of the things that they said was subscription models.
Right.
Like, what's working, what's not working.
Cam, can you lay a freestyle beat over this?
Nope.
So let's talk about subscriptions, because a couple of our Twitter followers, so Jennifer R. at TWSR blog on Twitter, reached out to us and said, what I'm wondering about subscription boxes is, how will they keep us coming back and committing long term? Will they run out of steam? Which is something that is interesting in a world where we seem to be leaning more and more into customization and curation.
And personalization, like, so, real personalization.
Alexa, curious to know, do you subscribe to any boxes currently?
I used to subscribe to Birchbox. I did it because I didn't want to spend like $45 on an eye pencil that I didn't know if I was going to actually love. So it gave me options to try things. And they would send me stuff that I would never in a million years, like bright pink lip stains, which P.S. I don't wear. But I tried it and I was like, I actually don't look bad in this. And it started making me think about other ways that I could, you know, challenge myself with color, et cetera, et cetera. And I really liked it.
So I also, at one point, had a very short stint with Birchbox. And I think what you just said was the reason it was a very short stint, which was, instead of starting me with things that were personally curated that I hand selected, it was just sending me a hodgepodge of things based on, like, which J-Lo dress I like.
So if they gave you, hey, this month you have a choice of 10. Because they do this, like, this month you can have, like,
but
this
type of thing.
I want to
pick all of it.
You want to pick all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad model. We're also dealing with, like, just the product in general for
right.
you was not right.
No.
Right? Because you are a makeup aficionado.
But this doesn't just extend to makeup.
Did you hear what I just
said?
Yeah,
thank
you're welcome.
I appreciate it. I am the bronzer queen. But I think what's interesting about it is I'm realizing that that doesn't just apply to makeup. So I'm also a quarterly subscriber to Rachel Zoe's collection, which she personally curates. Now, every month there is at least one thing in that box that I'm like, this is amazing. The rest I typically gift.
And it's worth it to you. Is that why you continue
because
to subscribe?
Because that one product I love is definitely worth or retails more than what I pay for the box.
Yeah.
So that I appreciate. And I usually gift the rest to other people, which they also appreciate. But I think what's interesting is that what I come to understand and
someone's
go
like,
back,
wait, this was re-gifted?
Luckily, I don't think the people I gifted to.
It's not re-gift, I guess.
No, I don't open it.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like, I know I'm not going to wear these, like, bottle cap sunglasses, like, pass. And my dog walker loves bottle cap sunglasses and she wears them. But that said, the idea of them running out of steam, I think, is an interesting one because, like all subscription models, so whether you're paying, you know, X number of dollars for Netflix or you're paying for
$4.99 for the information,
like, whatever it is, I think that those brands or media companies or whatever need to continually optimize to the person, not necessarily culture, in this one instance that I think I will ever go on the record and say that.
So explain that a little bit more.
So culture might tell Rachel Zoe or Birchbox or even Netflix that you should be doing programming that looks like this.
So where's the human factor of, like,
right.
little more context, a little smarter.
Right.
I just don't think that the selection, I think it's a good point. So what I think the issue is in a lot of cases, maybe with, like, Birchbox, I don't know if they've changed it since I'm not a subscriber anymore. But their upfront process was a really, really simple process, right?
Right.
They would ask you your age, your skin color, what you like. Are you into hair care? Are you into this? Are you into that? And maybe they need to update that a little bit more.
How do they do that?
Do you know what I would do? I would start creating like lookalike segments, and I would start analyzing them based on certain things. Like if I could follow people like Laura Grenti and I knew what kind of media they were consuming, what kind of clothing they were buying, right? Then I could start looking at like, what do you like? I would, you know, Pinterest type likes. And how do you start doing that in mass?
Yeah. What's interesting about what you just said, right, is maybe this is how these subscription companies sustain themselves, is they need to diversify 100%. And fill in the holes between the shows we watch, between the boxes that arrive, right? How do you start to what you've said on many shows previous, Alexa, is like, how do you market to the whole person?
Yeah.
And so if you're a Birchbox subscriber and I continue to be a Rachel Zoe subscriber, I only get that box once a quarter. So how are you filling in the gaps? Are you driving me to watch more content on Rachel Zoe? How do you extend the shelf life of my relationship with you beyond just the box to make me a brand advocate?
I mean, if you look, okay, Prime is the best example of this. And Bezos said years ago when he started Prime, he was like, Prime is the sticky to Amazon, meaning it is the actual glue that holds subscribers to buying on Amazon. It's only increased. Right. I actually can't imagine my life without Prime. And I watch Prime content. So I watch Man in the High Castle. I love Man in the High Castle. I watch a ton of content on Amazon. I watch movies on Amazon.
Do you buy everyday products on Amazon?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
So the interesting thing about Amazon and what you say, how Prime has become the glue, and they've really been a product first company that then is then able to permeate and move into other industries because everything comes back to that transaction, right? They make it whole, they make it real at the end of the day, whatever they're talking to me about.
Or interaction
can go buy, watch, etc.
Yeah.
One of our followers hit on the fact that Amazon is his favorite brand, but why don't they do more innovative marketing? And this particular Twitter follower says, I don't like the answer, quote unquote, they don't have to.
So I think the question is, what are you defining as, you know, marketing? They do Alexa, right? Advertising. They absolutely have a storefront that is constantly marketing new products and new content.
Amazon.com.
Yes, or smile.amazon.com, which I thought was easy and brilliant. It's like, oh, I'm going to buy more products because it's actually going to go to these charitable organizations and associates you and makes you feel good about what you're buying, even if you're buying something that's like, you know, polluting the world, like diapers, which I buy all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I get what this person is saying, but I don't know that Amazon necessarily needs to market in the way traditional companies do because their technology and continual pursuit of innovation as a tech company, as a product. To me, captures more attention in the headlines than is necessarily required by a brand that has to pay for that in terms of advertising. And so I'll just show you some of the cheekiness of our followers.
Can we also say something? Like, there's a big difference between marketing and advertising. Like, we're talking about innovative advertising. I don't really think they need to have innovative advertising. Oh, and by the way, did Burger King not have an ad that spoke literally straight to an audio home assistant? Yes. I mean, like, it's happening all over the place. And what they've done is they've rooted themselves into the
Google.
Doesn't matter. Home audio assistants. Right. It doesn't matter. Like, they've rooted themselves into the cultural zeitgeist.
Right.
So it's like, you know, they're going to be advertisers that are advertising Amazon's services and products and technology. And Google or not, at the end of the day, it's all about there's two big players in audio home assistants. The biggest one right now is Amazon.
What's interesting is that, just to kind of give some suggestions, if Jeff Bezos might be listening, one of our followers said, Jeff Bezos is too busy planning his deliveries to the moon to do any cool marketing. To which our other listener said, so make a Fly Me to the Moon music video shot from an Amazon drone, which I like.
All right.
Well, let's move on to a different type of cult subscription, and that is the rise of the independent class studios. So Brittany Castine at Agency Exec on Twitter asks, the rise of studios and how their business models work, SoulCycle, Exhale Spa, Everybody Fights, etc., and how ClassPass saw an opportunity. Her question really is, how does that model also sustain itself? And why are people so obsessed with independent fitness studios?
It's really interesting. You know, how are they going to continue to survive? I think they're going to expand
into
totally different areas. So SoulCycle is all about like spirituality,
but they're doing it in the fashion category, right? So here's why I'm obsessed. I just read a brilliant article about why SoulCycle succeeds. And that's because SoulCycle does not consider itself a fitness studio. SoulCycle considers itself a brand experience, right? I mean, the founders of SoulCycle started the business presumably, and I believe I've read this on multiple occasions, because they were obsessed with a particular type of community that spinning created and then built the product into that. In my opinion, like if I was sitting in the room when that was founded, it was like paying attention to everything from the sign-in process to the candles that they use.
Yeah, so like Peloton, right, has done this amazing thing. You have a sense of community. Now put the SoulCycle brand on the Peloton products, right?
Yeah, you can buy a SoulCycle bike.
They're totally going after that. I mean, 100%. But I think it's what's interesting is going outside of the studio and where that feeling of community extends.
Yeah.
That's where they're going to have to
go.
And
I always thought it was interesting, like, why more brands, and I don't even know that it was ever in the roadmap for SoulCycle, why more brands didn't penetrate the studio. And I actually respect and appreciate that they held the line on brands permeating their community.
What do you mean?
So,
like selling
products,
selling
right?
Products.
Like, yeah. Why wasn't, you know, a towel brand like in there sponsoring what you wipe your face off on the bike? Why wasn't there an integration from, you know, a smoothie bar or whatever the case? And I appreciate that there was never this feeling of
being sold.
Sellout and penetration. It was just about that community. And so no matter where you go, that experience is consistent. They're branching into content.
That's the deep fanaticism that I'm talking about.
They're branching into content, which I think is brilliant. They have a great campaign out right now. They do different events throughout the year that encourage riding, but also community. And they branch into clothing, which I own way too much of.
So really, if you look at everything we just talked about, it's really some form of subscription or membership. Right. And you feel like you're a member of SoulCycle. You don't have to subscribe.
Right.
But you feel like you're a member.
Yeah. And what's interesting about that, if we take it one step further, so brands and product focused companies have popped up around subscription. We're starting to see it permeate into media companies where people for the first time almost really want to go back behind the paywall, and not because they don't want to be exposed to ads. They're going back behind the paywall in a subscription model because they want access.
Exactly.
And so that synergy exists.
Right.
And what's equally interesting is that now we're seeing brands, not like product brands and subscription, but actual brands who don't necessarily have something to sell in terms of what the community is meant to do. So you look at things like the Nike Run Club. I mean, presumably you're wearing Nike sneakers.
Right.
But when you go to those, or apparel, but when you go to those events, it's not what it's about. You have brands standing up, museums, hotels, dinner parties.
Music.
This music.
Entertainment, yeah.
So this idea of subscription.
And membership. I think the
membership.
Something that you were talking about with your SoulCycle.
Fanaticism.
Is that. There's SoulCycle's built such a strong brand and you have such a strong relationship with it. You want to see it grow and you actually want to experience how you feel when you're in SoulCycle or you come out of SoulCycle in other parts of your life. That's a huge opportunity.
So to the brand marketers out there, don't count out experience, subscription, membership, and ultimately above all, community. So with that, we'll be right back with a Mother's Day special. Welcome back, everybody.
We have a special segment on this episode, and it's all about the mamas.
Our mothers. We're calling them for Mother's Day, asking them what their favorite brands are.
And why.
And why.
You know, if I was a brand, though, I would love this unfiltered perspective because they have, right? They're just going to be totally unfiltered. It's like, I love this.
Yeah.
And give you the real reasons why.
Thank God we can edit. Okay, so we're going to call Gigi first.
We're gonna. Alexa's that's mom. AKA Noreen is her real name. Gigi is what the grandkids call her.
Wait, you're like holding up a real telephone? That's how we're doing this?
No, it's hooked into the thing. He's fine.
Hello.
Hi. Gigi.
Gigi. Hi, Laura. Hi, Louie.
How are you?
I'm really good. I feel sort of like Dorothy Letterman, Dave's mother, though.
You totally are Dorothy Letterman.
You're coming in so clear all the way from, where are you?
Chicago.
Chicago.
This makes me want to say, Mom, I just have to say this. Ma, the meatloaf. I just have to say that. Mom, happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, Gigi.
Thank you, Louie and Laura.
Mom, so...
You're on Adlandia.
Welcome to Adlandia.
Thank you. It's a wonderful place to be.
So we want to ask you, what are your favorite brands? And tell us
why. What are you most loyal to, Gigi?
Okay, so Pandora.
Pandora. Love, you're a big music listener. What are your top stations, Gigi?
It depends on the mood I'm in. Like if I'm running around town, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh, really? Ooh. Mom, I didn't know that.
Gigi, why do you love Pandora? What turned you on to it? What makes you a loyal user of their platform?
This is the best part. So like on a Sunday night, you'll be sitting with my mom and she'll be like, oh, Pandora just emailed me. I have another survey to do. Right, Mom?
Right.
It's hilarious.
No, I like how they research it so deeply. They're not in a hurry.
I love it.
Okay. Do you want some more?
Yes.
Okay. Chase Bank.
Ooh. I know you had a relationship with that banker in Connecticut. You really liked him. Not like a romantic relationship. Like, but she knew about his kids and his whole family.
I mean, yeah.
Well, you know what I like about them? First of all, I'm not crazy about credit, but I like the incentives that they give.
That's the 70s hippie in you.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like,
I
buck
love the
system.
Cash back rewards.
So you love the product?
So I love the product, yeah. And I like the online ease of their app because I can get all the information I need. I can do everything I need to do, and I don't even have to leave my house to do it. I can deposit. I can do all that stuff. But it's fast and it's easy. And the thing I love about them is they keep improving the product. Like, they keep improving their app and they keep asking, could we do it better? What would you like?
You actually paid more attention to their app than I did when they first started it. She's like, you can deposit the check from your house. I'm like, no, I'm going to the bank. She's like, Alexa,
I mean, this is amazing. And we love the work that Kristen Lemkow, who's the CMO, Gigi over at Chase, is doing to particularly target millennials and bring younger people into the fold. But I think it's encouraging to hear, and we'll have to share this with her. Hey, look, it's not just for millennials. You've got an older demographic who also loves to bank conveniently, and that might just be from the comfort of their home, not necessarily from being on the go. And I think that that's an interesting, you know, parallel for them to think about. So you're just the queen of consumer research. What else you got?
Keep going. There's one more.
Okay. Mail online.
Woo, mail online.
It helps me read the pulse of the cultural norms. So that's what I look at it. I look at it for the big picture.
Mail online for the big picture. Mom, I love that. No one else would say that. Maybe people would say that.
I mean, I'm not far behind in my personal life.
And the big picture does include the Kardashians. Let's just be clear. It's got a big picture.
Well, I mean, if you girls have an hour, we could talk about branding and the Kardashians.
Oh, well, Gigi, that might be a special episode between you and I.
You'll have to come back on, Gigi.
You'll have to come back. When you're in New York, you need to come into the studio and hang with us.
I love you, Mom.
I love you, too.
Happy Mother's Day. Bye, Gigi.
Bye.
So now we're going to call
Barb
in Jersey. We're going to see that Laura and Barb have a lot of similarities.
I don't know if we do. My mom would tell you we do.
You do. You actually do.
My mom is like 5 foot nothing.
She is a little bit.
But she might be more Spitfire than me.
For sure, for sure.
So, Cam, let's call Barb. I'm going to be a little bit different on the tonal energy.
Hi, Laura.
Mom! Hi, Mom.
Hi, Alexa.
Barb. How are you?
Good. How are you girls tonight?
We're great.
Mom, you're on a special Mother's Day episode of Atlandia.
Welcome.
A-D-L-A-N-D-I.
A.
A.
A-D-L-A-N-D-I.
She just made it Italian. Atlandi.
Atlandi.
That's it for Crenshaw.
Well, Mom, you're on a special episode. We just got off the phone with Alexa's mom, who told us about some of her
favorite brands
and want to hear from you. What are the things that you have been most loyal to?
Or obsessed with.
Okay. In my 59 plus years, I have been obsessed with Clinique.
Oh my God, I called it. She knew you were going to say Clinique.
If there is one thing I remember growing up, it is that green friggin' box and you having that silver lipstick, same color for as long
Tender
as, what's
heart.
The name of the color?
Tender Heart.
Mom, do you buy, where do you buy it, Mom?
Oh, yeah, where do you
well,
buy
now,
it?
I was a loyal Macy's girl, but now I've been going to Ulta.
Oh, why? Mm-hmm. Why the switch?
Well, Ulta does offer me points on my purchases.
Yeah.
Oh, so I can't always use my coupons, but I can use my points for other things on my purchases.
Weren't we saying you're a makeup fanatic? So earlier in the show, Barb, Laura and I were talking about how Laura's like a makeup fanatic, where I am like completely the opposite. And I think the apple does not fall far from the tree on this. Just to be clear.
I hope I taught her well, Alexa.
Skincare.
You're more of a blush girl, Mom. I'm definitely a bronzer.
She's a tender heart girl.
She has far fairer Irish skin.
Clinique perfume, too.
I like Happy.
Actually, I use Aromatic.
Oh.
Because it really is scented, almost like patchouli oil of the 70s.
Oh, okay. We just talked to my mom, and we were like, Mom, you're a hippie. Barb, you also are a child of the 70s.
Yeah. That's it.
Mom, what are
Peace
things...
out.
Mom, and as somebody who's not on social media, how do you discover new
products.
Things?
Yeah.
Probably mail.
Like direct mailers?
And circulars that come to the house. Or when I'm shopping, you know, store displays.
Do you talk to your friends about it?
Absolutely. One of my best friends uses Clinique as well.
See? They stick together.
Yes.
Stick together.
Mom, when did you cancel your AOL subscription?
Probably January 2017.
Tim Armstrong, you're welcome for that one
amazing.
Loyal dial-up legacy user in New Jersey.
I bet there's many women like me out there.
There are.
You know, and you know what, too? Like, being in education, the kids are the ones that keep me young.
I love that.
That's sweet.
Yep.
Mom, where do you get your news?
My news, Laura, you'd be impressed. No, I do go online. I only get the Sunday paper now, but every day I do read NJ.com.
All right. I love it.
Local, grassroots.
Local news.
Well, Barb, Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's
Thank
Day,
Mom.
Thank
you for coming on our episode.
Alexa, I feel like you're an extension of Laura, so I feel like you could be my second daughter.
Thank you. Remember, I'm your cleaner, more polite, more Midwestern daughter.
Right. I never hear the F-bomb out of your mouth.
That's not true, but I appreciate you lying for me.
Mom, I love you. I'll call you later.
Thanks, Barb.
All right. Love you, too. Good luck tonight, you guys.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
So on this special Mother's Day episode of Atlandia, we hope you all had a good time with your moms.
You kissed your mothers.
And thank you to our moms for having fun and actually picking up the phone.
I think we might do a mom swap. Like,
oh my
have
God,
Barb.
Be hysterical.
I'm going to have Barb coming to Nebraska.
And she would love it.
She would love it.
And she would definitely
actually,
come back with those shirts that say Property of Nebraska. She would come home with that.
She'd like four of them.
Meanwhile, Gigi and I would be on the Hollywood hunt.
No, you guys would be in LA. You guys would be in LA in the Armenian section of LA where they all go to eat. You know, they all like go eat at the Armenian like part of Los Angeles.
I didn't know that.
So we're going to do a mom swap.
But that said, we have a couple people to thank.
Cameron Drews, our producer.
Thank you, Cam, for calling our mothers.
Our mothers. Andy Bowers.
Matt Turk and the rest of our family at Panoply. Thanks for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks with an all-new Atlandia.
Full disclosure, our opinions are our own.
Have fun with it. As long as you continue to have fun with it, then it's worth
your time.
Okay,
we got to go.
No,
bye.
I love that. Bye, Barb. Thank you.
Bye. You're welcome. Bye.